nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
James Van Fleet said, "Always think in terms of what the other person wants." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who think in terms of what the other person wants. Our first playmaker is the CEO of an international events association. Our next playmaker turned a two-man remodeling company into $43 million. With us today is a CEO who is also a hockey official. While our next playmaker was a short order cook at the age of 12. These great playmakers are David Dubois. David is CEO of the International Association of Exhibitions and Events. And Rob Levin. Rob is president of Statewide Remodeling. And we'll begin today's show with Rob. Rob Levin is president of Statewide Remodeling, a retailer of siding, windows, sunrooms, bath, and kitchen remodeling, and home weatherization. Statewide Remodeling has sold to over 30,000 single-family homeowners in the Dallas, Austin, Houston, and San Antonio market areas. Rob started in the home improvement industry in 1972 as a CPA. In 1978, he began a retail home improvement company selling sidings and windows. Within 9 years, the company has 65 offices in 33 states, doing over $300 million in revenue. Rob then began Statewide Remodeling in 1994 as a small two-man office in Dallas. Statewide now has revenues in excess of $43 million and showrooms and offices in both Dallas and Austin, as well as offices in Houston and San Antonio. Statewide has been recognized by several national publications as the largest home improvement remodeling company in Texas. Rob, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, I mentioned before that you were a CPA, so how does an auditor get into the remodeling business?
Well, as it turns out, one of my clients was in the wholesale building supply business, and they were looking for a new CFO. I had been doing the audit on their account for about 2 years and was the senior at that time, and so they hired me away.
And that's the rest is history.
Yeah, that was back in Maryland. It was a regional mid-Atlantic wholesale company in the building supply business, and that's how I started in the business.
Well, you moved from that to starting another company back about 1978. Is that correct, in Maryland? Or no, you started that here in Dallas.
Well, the one that I came to Dallas in 1978 to work with another gentleman who was starting a wholesale company here as his executive vice president, and did that for about 5 years before I went into the retail business.
Well, you also were in the building business for a short time, too, weren't you?
That's correct. Yeah, back in the early 90s, I also had a partner in the building business. We built homes in the mid-cities area, mostly in the Colleyville area.
Well, what was the impetus? What got you wanting to start your remodeling business in 1994?
Well, when we started in 94, I'd been out of that side of the business. I was in the home building business at that time. And one of my former employees, and now my partner, Frank Manzeri, was leaving the old company that I had started and wanted to stay in the business at that time. And my wife told me that you always enjoyed that business and you've been home for 3 years off and on in semi-retirement more than anything. And she was happy to see me go back to work full time. She said she'd put on 10 pounds at that time and she wasn't too happy about it.
Well,
she blamed me.
Well, let's talk about the remodeling business. It seemed like that's something you really enjoy and you got yourself back. Now, why do you enjoy that so much? Because you got into it kind of through the back door because you were a CPA. But what's the thrill for you?
Well, I enjoy what we do. I enjoy the products that we sell. I think what we do is important. We sell quality products to customers. We back it up with a great warranty for the customers. And the great thing is that we're improving the homes that they live in. And there's a great satisfaction to it. And it's a great investment also. I mean, I'm a CPA and, you know, investments are one of the things I'm involved with. And, you know, the great thing is most of the things that we do, baths, kitchens, windows, siding, you get a great return on those investments. You know, if you invest your money, most of the time you get 70 to 85% of that back when you sell the home. And that's a great investment where I come from.
Well, you come from both sides. You come from modeling and also home building sales, so you know exactly what that means. And you're right. You're enjoying your home more by having something done to it. The website is statewideremodeling.com. And if you do go there, you'll see a lot of, I guess you call them galleries, of different types of work that you've done. But let's talk about the products and the areas that you work on the home? What's your expertise? What part of the home do you like working on the most?
The most? The things that we specialize in, the number one thing that people want, and this is not just here in Texas, but it's nationwide, bath and kitchen remodeling are the number one thing that people want to do in their home is a remodel. Statistically, the remodeling magazines say that 47 or 48% of people who want to do anything in their home is a kitchen or a bath. Bath is usually first. That's the first thing. We also do windows, which do energy savings. The energy savings are very important to people today. And also adding room to their home. So that's what we do with sunrooms, patio covers. Each of the products has their own area of want from a customer. And we have representatives who can represent each one of those product lines separately.
Well, let's talk about that, the kitchen and the bathroom remodeling. I purchased a home that was about 20 years old, and apparently kitchens and bathrooms run in cycles in terms of the way they're developed. And if you've owned a home for 20 years, you want to redo it to make it more modern. Is that what you find with a lot of homes in Texas?
Oh, yeah. That's, like I say, that's the first thing that people want to do. It's obviously a room you use all the time, and they get dated fairly quickly. And the products that we sell a product when we redo the wet area, the bath or the shower. Tub to shower conversions are one of the big things people want. They have a tub they basically never use. They only use it as a shower anyway. So they want to update it to make a shower out of it and update the rest of their bathrooms. It's, again, the number one thing that people really, really see in their home that's deficient.
Well, you also do radiant barrier, too, and insulation. That has become very popular of late because of energy saving, and I've noticed after having it done in my home that it saves a tremendous amount of energy. Have you seen that happen with your clients as you put that in?
Oh, absolutely. I have a customer down in Austin, actually, that I went to see, and they said they had energy savings as much as 30 to 40%. We actually ran a heat meter in the house before we put in the insulation, and the temperature at the top of the attic was 137 degrees, and after we put the product in, it was down to 92. And that's the kind of things you can do. That heat gets into the home. I don't care how much insulation you have. There's always going to be some infiltration of that heat from the attic, and that's really the number one source that people have of energy loss in the house. So it's been a really good product for us.
And when I had mine done, my electricity in the summertime, it was cut in half. Just by having that, paid for itself extremely quickly. Well, what makes your business stand out? Why is statewide remodeling as good as it is? Why are you so successful?
Well, I don't think it takes a genius to figure out you need to have good people, and I think that's what Frank and I have been really good at doing. We've hired some good people. We have a good training program for our salespeople. We have quality products, and the great thing is that they're warranted, and a lot of our products, our windows and our patio products, are warranted for a lifetime. As long as you're in that home, we'll take care of whatever issues that you have. And there aren't too many products out there. I wish I could get that on my car. I can tell you that is with all the money I've spent over the years on fixing my car, but you don't. And so that's one of the great things that we have.
Well, I guess it was a recession we had a few years ago, hit pretty hard. Did it hit your business much? Because you were helping people improve the home they're in rather than selling it. So you were able to weather the recession 4 or 5 years ago?
Well, it was difficult at the beginning. The biggest difficulty wasn't that people didn't have the want. It was the fact that the banks basically made lending very, very difficult. At that point in time, half of my business was before we started we had just started the bathroom business, but sunrooms was half of my business at that time, and probably 80% of those were being financed because it was a good-sized purchase. And the banks basically closed that down, and basically, overnight, we lost half that business because of the financing problems, not because people didn't want them, but the banks were getting very tight, which I think everybody knows.
Well, talk about your starting business. You've been involved with a number of businesses. You started this business in 1994. You're in the home building business. We have a lot of entrepreneurs and business people listening. What would you suggest for them to do to make their business successful? You mentioned good employees, but in addition to that, what does a person need to do to make a business successful?
Well, they have to have a passion, first of all, for what they want to be doing. It can't be just a job. It has to be something you really enjoy doing. That'll really lead to the managers, the owners of the company, getting that kind of energy to their employees, going out and hiring the right people and having a good business plan. You know, a lot of people just go into business because they think it's easy. It's not. You have to have a business plan in a way that you're going to go about doing business. You have to have good suppliers and product that you sell. And a quality product and a good warranty are the things that are important to people today.
Good news for anybody that wants to continue their business or start one. If as you think back over the last 30-plus years, because you came to Dallas in 1978, is there any one thing that stands out in your mind as something that was a turning point for you and your business, something that was maybe a playmaking move that you made that was able to move you in the right direction and statewide in the right direction?
Well, I think the fact that we expanded the business into other products – starting in 99, we just started out selling siding and windows. We moved into the sunroom patio product business in 1999, and that really helped. Adding new products, quality products, exclusive products, we're the only ones who distribute that product in our marketplaces, with a great warranty, was a big plus. It basically doubled our business over the next 3 years, being able to add a new product.
So for all intents and purposes, anything that a homeowner wants to do to improve their business, I also saw that on your website that you also do exterior doors too to help with the energy saving. But for all intents and purposes, you're there to help redo their home in any specific area. Now, when customers call you, are they looking for something specific, or do they say, come on out, take a look at our house and see what we need?
Most of the customers who call have a specific need. A lot of times it's more than one thing. They may say that they're looking at a bath and a kitchen. They're not sure which one they want to approach first. Our sales representatives are specialized in each of the areas. We have separate people that sell bathrooms. They're specialists for that. Same thing for kitchens, windows, patio products. All those have a separate sales force. So the salesmen are particularly trained in that product to get the customer and find out what their needs are. I mean, the important thing is you get the customer, gets what they're looking for. And to listen to them is really important, to listen to what their problems are, what their issues and what they're trying to accomplish. And our job is to fulfill that need.
So they know exactly what they are selling based on the training they had for that specific part of the home. Well, if some of the listeners may be familiar with statewide remodeling because they have a tremendous presence at the state fair, but tell everybody again how to get a hold of statewide remodeling on the Internet.
Well, on the Internet, you can go to our website, statewideremodeling.com. You can see the products that we sell there, the offers that are available at the time, and you can actually set an appointment if you like online or send in a question if you have for us to answer.
I also know there's you can get a quote also.
You can get a free quote from us. You can sign up for a quote online. There's a page for quotes that you can sign up for a quote. Also, you can call us directly at 800-317-8283. You can get right into our appointment center, and they can set an appointment for you.
And all that also is on our website, Playmakers Talk Show. Rob, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve.
Rob Levin is president of Statewide Remodeling. Don't go away. After the break, we're going to talk about events. We're going to speak with David Dubois. He's the CEO of the International Association of Exhibitions and Events, and we'll talk to David right after this.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple, to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to talk about exhibitions and events with David Dubois. David is the president and CEO of the International Association of Exhibitions and Events. IAEE globally promotes exhibitions and events and is the principal resource for those who plan, produce, and service the industry. David began his career with Sheraton Corporation, including regional director of sales and the director of marketing programs. He's also served as both president and CEO and senior vice president at the Professional Convention Management Association. David has also served as both the chief operating officer at Meeting Professionals International. Most recently, David served as president and CEO of the Fort Worth Convention and Visitors Bureau. David, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve, and it's great to be here with you today.
I'm glad you're here, too. Well, how does a native Michigander, because you grew up in Detroit, how does a native Michigander become CEO of an international association?
Well, first of all, my wife and I do not like ice and snow, so moving back to the Dallas-Fort Worth area is much more pleasant from a weather standpoint. But not unlike folks that have had great careers in the military, when I was in the hotel business, we moved around a lot. You know, Philadelphia, Chicago, Atlanta, Washington, D.C. So 20 years ago now, I moved down here to work for an association, Meeting Professionals International, here in North Dallas, and we've never left.
Well, you your background was and your training was in hotel administration in college. Did what you learned in college, did it prepare you for these jobs that you've had beginning with Sheraton?
Oh, absolutely. I had the pleasure of going to Michigan State Hotel School and where I learned about club management, restaurant management, food and beverage, ended up in the hotel business as a sales and marketing person. And that really built the platform of my career that has launched over 40 years.
Well, being in the kind of businesses you've been in, we were talking about passion at the break, and I would think you need to have a lot of passion for what you do, because for all intents and purposes, you're a promoter. Meeting planning, the city of Fort Worth, associations and events, you're a promoter for what you do. So my guess is when you've gotten into each business, you had to spend a lot of time getting as much information as possible about that association so you could go out and sell. Is that the case?
Oh, absolutely, Steve. To give you and the listeners an idea of how large the meetings incentive exhibition and events businesses. In the United States alone, it's over $250 billion with a B.
With a B, yeah.
Representing almost 2 million full-time jobs. So, for example, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there are actually 12 or 13 convention and visitors bureaus, sales and marketing organizations that works for cities and or counties that do exactly what you suggested, promote the products, services, and capabilities of convention centers and hotels and venues in the DFW area alone. It's a huge business.
Well, a few years ago, being in the training business, I was told that training on site was going to get less and less because of the internet and people are going to be doing all the training via Skype, et cetera. But with all the associations out there, people are still traveling worldwide to get to some of these associations. So your group really is getting people to travel and getting people to take a look at what's new out there.
Absolutely. At our association, we have two pillars of our strategic plan. One is education, and that's educating the ladies and gentlemen at the college university level, right up through folks that are in their 50s and 60s and still working and being very, very productive as to the advantages of face-to-face meetings, certainly augmented by technology and everything that's available on the internet. And then the other pillar of our strategic plan is advocacy. And absolutely, Steve, we are out there every single day advocating sales and marketing executives to utilize exhibitions and events to sell and promote their products and services, as well as and augmented by what is available through the internet.
Well, I was going to ask you about that before, because you were in the exhibitions and events business. I was going to ask you what you do, and you just told us, because you're out advocating all the time to get people to go out and see what's out there and also present their products. But what is the state of the healthy exhibition and events industry in North Texas? What's the economy like, and is it helping the economy tremendously in North Texas?
Well, absolutely. The advantages that this area have, the rebirth of a great downtown Dallas area, great Fort Worth area. You go out to Frisco now, they have incredible facilities, not only for sports and activities, but convention centers and exhibitions. So this area alone hosts exhibits from 100 tabletops for any particular industry to the largest shows like Mary Kay's convention that happens for 3 weeks every summer in downtown Dallas.
So it's bringing a tremendous amount of money into the city. Now, I know that the cities vie for conventions. Las Vegas is a big convention city, as is New Orleans. Where is Dallas? Is Dallas coming up? Is it becoming more of a convention city as those other two?
You know, Dallas is in the top 10, top 12 in terms of capabilities and size. They have a very strong and aggressive and successful Convention and Visitors Bureau supported by their mayor and city council, which is very important. With SMU right there, building communities of ladies and gentlemen who are sit on boards and committees of various organizations that then can invite these big meetings, conventions, and exhibits to come to Dallas. It's very important, and the same thing happens on the Fort Worth side, the Fort Worth footprint of their convention centers, smaller than Dallas. But right now, happening this week on Monday night, is the first ever college national championship game, and guess where that is? Right in the middle of the Dallas-Fort Worth area in a great city called Arlington.
Thank you, Jerry Jones, for
exactly.
pulling all that together. And speaking of Jerry Jones, he's probably been a big part of what's happened to the Dallas area, especially in Frisco now that he's putting his office and facilities out there. But what's the relationship between entrepreneurs and a lot of companies starting up and the exhibition and events industry? Are they important to one another?
Well, as we heard in the earlier interview, in the remodeling business, to go to the kitchen and bath show, and go and look at new products and services that can then be brought back to all the potential customers in the great state of Texas, that's huge. You can do a little bit of that shopping on the internet, but it's not the same as looking right face to face in the eyes of Steve and David having a conversation about a product and service and challenges that you have for your customers. So every single day there are thousands of meetings, exhibitions, and trade shows happening where products, services, and solutions to problems, healthcare, technology, jewelry, machinery. We track 15 different industries, and every single day, as we speak in this interview right now, there's meetings, conventions, and trade shows going on where people are solving problems, learning about new products and services that they bring back and make employment opportunities available in their communities.
It would be interesting to know exactly how much business is actually done totally because of IAEE, because for all intents and purposes, you're in the sales marketing business. That's really all you do. You're in the business to put people face-to-face, the marketing, and then make the sales, the face-to-face business. So that's got to be exciting going out and promoting all that.
Exactly, Steve. We track 14,000 exhibitions and trade shows in the United States, Canada, and Mexico, and we're starting to work globally. We have members now in 48 countries. And that's exactly what happens. Just the economic impact, the direct and multiplier effect of a trade show in a community is huge. What we have a hard time tracking, and we know that it happens, but it's very difficult to track, are the sales that happen and the products and services that are moved after the show takes place. What's the economic impact of X company selling $1 million worth of their goods and services to Y company? And that's hard for us to track. So we think we know that it's a $69 billion industry, the exhibition industry. But we think it's four or five times that if we were able to track the actual outcome and sales that happen after the show occurs.
Well, it's obviously you have a tremendous amount of passion for doing this, and every business you've been in, from MPI to the city of Dallas or Fort Worth rather, and IAEE, you're promoting. You're promoting whatever you're doing and getting people to get involved with that city or the association. But I'm going to change gears here for a moment because I mentioned a little bit about this. In the Dallas Business Journal, you were asked if you were retired, what would you do? One of the things you said, you'd become a race car driver. Now, is that something that's been kind of the back in your head, kind of as a Walter Mitty type idea? Or have you done some racing?
You know, successful ladies and gentlemen who are successful businessmen and women, entrepreneurs, they like speed. They like success. They want to conquer. If a great salesperson has a goal of selling 1,000 units, he or she wants to sell 1,025. So as an ice hockey official, I still like being at the age of 58 on the ice because I like dodging pucks that are thrown at me, you know, by players that really don't know that they're supposed to shoot them at the net. And someday I'd like to get into a race car. I've been out to Texas Motor Speedway and been in a NASCAR, and it's fascinating. Now, my wife would have to triple my life insurance policy for me to be able to do that, Steve.
Especially as we get a little older, it's a little more difficult. But let's talk about that hockey, too. Did you begin that when you were in Detroit?
Yeah, I grew up in Detroit, hockey town, USA, and I don't play anymore. I gave that up about 10 years ago when I decided that it was easier for me to officiate and make money than to play and pay money. So, and my CFO wife, she understood and respected that, and it's been great. And I'll continue to work games until they stop scheduling me for 8 and 9 year olds.
Well, obviously, you have a lot of passion for that, and you enjoy that too. Let me ask this: in it being in the business you're in, because you're in the basically promotion business, you're promoting something all the time. Was there any one playmaking move you made in your career that helped you realize that this was the move for you? This is what I wanted to do, and promote whatever I was working or involved with.
Well, I'll answer it quickly two different ways. Number one, nothing happens until something's sold. If you don't drive that top line of your business, whether you're in the floral business, the jewelry business, the remodeling business, whatever you're doing, if you don't have that sale, you can't have employees. You can't make things happen. You can't buy products and services to make that next sale. So having said that, one of the Playmaker successes I'm proud of and my team very proud of is we had our first ever Exhibitions Day on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., this past June of 2014, where we had 100 of our members making calls on the ladies and gentlemen who are senators and congressmen and women on Capitol Hill advocating and talking about the great success of the exhibition industry. And it's amazing how many said, oh, yeah, we have a convention center and an exhibit center in our own town, our own state. I should get more involved. The aha moments were incredible, Steve, and that was a huge playmaker. We're doing it again in 2015 in Washington, D.C.
Obviously something, again, that you're very passionate about. And your website is?
IAEE.com, and we look forward to having people access it and sending us any questions they have about the exhibitions and events industry.
Well, David, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show. David Dubois, CEO of the International Association of Exhibitions and Events. This has been a great show. Thank you very much for being a part of it. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com. And we'll be back next week with more Playmakers. We'll see you then.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Kline every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.